Shall we turn to the Book of Lamentations? The Book of Lamentations and chapter 3. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and just the first part of verse 24. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Now I feel that there are few scriptures as rich as this one. This is a gold mine. And it would greatly profit believers to dig into that mine. We would be all enriched by digging into this verse of scripture. This book of Lamentations was written, of course, by Jeremiah. It is the prophet's lament over the destruction and burning of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. God had decreed a 70 years captivity for the southern kingdom of Judea, which together with the northern kingdoms had already which had already gone into captivity. God had decreed 70 years of captivity in Babylon for the southern kingdom because of the national failure to fulfill God's purpose. God had sovereignly chose the whole nation for sovereign and divine purposes, but they had failed that purpose, and therefore the 70 years captivity was God's punishment and a cure for their constant lapsing back into idolatry and worldliness. And the prophet here in this book, he confesses the sins of his people and prays for renewal and restoration. And we must remember, when we read the Old Testament histories, that there are in these historical events spiritual principles which apply to us all. And that is the value of these records. In the midst of national loss and destruction, and especially the destruction and burning of Jerusalem, the holy city, the prophet falls back on this wonderful truth: the Lord is my portion. When all else is lost, when everything that is of earthly value has been taken away from us, either by destruction or by this means or that, we who believe can fall back on this: the Lord is my portion. I remember when we were on the high hills of Western China, when we were robbed one night, and everything in the house was taken away from us. But what a comfort to know that they cannot take the Lord away from us, that the Lord is our portion. And this was a favorite phrase used by godly men and women throughout the ages. You read the book of Psalms, for instance. You will find it in Psalm 73, Psalm 119, Psalm 142. The Lord is my portion. And I think that that is something that we believers ought to take hold of in these days, in these last days, when this world is self-destructive and when it is disintegrated and falling apart at the seams. We need to take hold of this, but yet, it is a sad, sad thing throughout the whole of the world, and especially in the West. I say it is a sad, sad thing to find believers who are like John Bunyan's picture of the man with a muckrake scratching around in the dust and dirt of earth and cannot see the golden crown above their head. There is a crown, a crown of gold. There is a heaven for those who believe. And we do well to lift up our eyes and to focus our eyes upon the things that are eternal and abiding. And it would seem to me that it is, this little verse is full of sweetness, and full of tremendous blessing. How vast its extent, how precious its value. And just roll this little word round in your tongue for a little while, day by day, and see what sweetness you can get out of it. The Lord is my portion. And it's a sad thing that so many in the world are striving after an earthly portion, when everything in the world, its wealth, its riches, its honors, its preferments, everything that is in the world is going to be burned up. And if you don't live to see that day, you live to see the day of your departure from this world, when you have to leave everything behind. And therefore we ought to fasten onto a word like this. The Lord is my portion. What a tremendous comfort in these days. Now I will try to tell you something about how rich is that portion. First of all, the Lord as our portion is a sufficient portion. Now I know that all believers believe that in the world to come, beyond the grave, that the Lord is sufficient for eternity. But is he sufficient? Do you believe that he is sufficient for this present time? Because it is in this present time that we have our trials and our difficulties. There are many that have, as we have heard in prayer, there are many who have physical trouble. And some who have mental trouble. And some who have marital problems. And domestic problems. And economic problems. And all kinds of problems. Which we will not have in the world to come. You will never in the world to come have to say, oh my back or oh my legs. Because we shall have a body that is bright and lustrous, and shall have no pain. And there shall be no more weeping and no more pain. But is he sufficient for this present time? Because this is the place where there is, this is the place which is a vale of tears, a valley of weeping. As the psalmist said in 84 verse 6, the valley of Baca, the vale of tears, the valley of weeping. It is here and now that we have our trial. And do you believe like this, that the Lord is a very present help, a present sufficient help, a present sufficient support, a present sufficient defense? Are you persuaded that the Lord is sufficient in this present time for all the problems that we have in life? You see, there are earthly portions that you might have to wait for a long time before you put your hands on them. For instance, Prince Charles of our country, Prince Charles of England, he's been waiting for a long time for the kingdom. Well, he might have to wait another 20 or 30 years yet before he puts his hand upon it. You see, but the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment, and from that moment onwards, he is yours, and he is a sufficient portion from the moment that you believe, and a present portion, present with you, all the time, present and sufficient. And what in the world, what have people in the world compared with this? If you want to realize what a portion you have in Christ, then remember who he is and how great he is. Blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, the maker of the world, the sovereign beauty, ruler of the universe, the ruler of the kings of the earth. How great is he, and what a portion he is to his people because of who he is, and because of how great he is. What a portion. And you see, he is sufficient portion for every man. Inside our front door in Vancouver, I have a plaque on the wall that was carved for me by my youngest daughter when she was in camp. And she knew that this name of God was a very favorite with me. It is the name El Shaddai. Very difficult to translate. Probably from the Hebrew shad the breast, meaning the enough God. That's not good English, but the enough God, the sufficient God. You remember that coming along the way, Abraham had failed, and Abraham had taken Hagar's wife, and had fallen down on his face, so to speak. And for several years, God did not speak to him. But then at last, he came through to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. That's walk before me and be sincere. I am El Shaddai, the enough God. Never mind who's against you. Never mind if the kings of the earth are against you. I am enough. I am sufficient. No matter if the whole world is against you. I am with you, and I am sufficient for you. Sufficient to provide for your every need. Sufficient to defend you against your enemies. Sufficient as sufficient for time and eternity. God is sufficient. You know, my friends, when you think of it, we are very, very small people. Have you ever considered this? That we are little people. But though we are little people, the need of our heart is infinite. That if you had to take this whole world, with all its wealth and all its jewels and all its diamonds and whatnot, and you took 10 worlds like this, and if you could, stuff them into the human heart, do you know that that human heart would not be satisfied? Not even with 10 worlds like this. That the human heart would never be satisfied, because the human heart was made for God, and only God can satisfy. And God has to fill the heart before we little people are satisfied. Only God who is sufficient. He is the sufficient one. That's the first thing. As the Lord is my portion, He is my sufficient portion. All I need for time and for eternity. Secondly, He is a blessed portion. Or, as we might say, a happy portion. He is a most blessed portion. This is something that we are always striving after. People want to be happy. They think that some people think if they get riches, they would be happy. Or if they could travel, they would be happy. Or if they could get another degree in school, they would be happy. No, no. It doesn't work like that. It's written in the Constitution of the United States that it is the right of man to, that the pursuit of happiness is an inherent right of man. That you have an inherent right to pursue happiness. Yes, but where are you going to seek? And where, pray tell, is happiness to be found? Eh? It's your right to pursue it, but where are you going to see? And where are you going to find? Was Saul the first king of Israel when he was chosen to be king over the nation of Israel? Was he a happy man when he had a kingdom under his rule? No, no. How often did envy eat him up? Twice he flung a javelin at David and tried to murder him. And at last, he fell on his own sword and committed suicide. Was Haman a happy man? When he was so highly exalted by King Ahasuerus? Was he a happy man? Was he a happy man when King and Queen Esther invited him to a banquet? And he went home and said, I'm the only one invited to the banquet. You see how great I am? But he was not a happy man so long as for him there. I would bow the knees to him. And very, very soon, he was hung on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Were the scribes and Pharisees a happy people with all their learning? No, they were not a happy people either. I crucified the Lord of Lords. Are youth happy because of their youthfulness? Are young people happy because they are young? No, they are not. When I was in Texas at the beginning of the year, there were 60 young people from affluent homes who compacted together to commit suicide. And when I was with John Welburn one week, 10 of them had already done so. Young people from affluent homes. It isn't youth that makes happiness. No. Happy art thou, O people, saved by the Lord, said Moses. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord, said the Psalms. And the proverb says, he that trusteth in the Lord, whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You see where happiness lies. It is not in the abundance of things. Happiness is in the knowledge of the Lord, and in having the Lord. He is my portion. It said, Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion. And what a wonderful truth there is in that. Wonderful truth. A blessed portion. A happy portion. To have the Lord makes us happy. To have the Lord is the supreme happiness. He is not only a sufficient portion, but he is a blessed portion. And also, in the third place, he is a secure portion. He's a secure portion. You can't lose him. He's ours and ours forever. You know, these earthly portions can be lost. They can be lost. I remember in China when the communists first took the country, that the rich people lost their estates and lost their houses. They put them out of their houses. They lost everything by government policy. You can lose things. These earthly portions have no security. These are portions that moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves can break through and steal. So our earthly portion. But this is a secure, here we have a secure portion. A secure portion. And it is secure because believers are believers are his by promise. Believers are the gift of the Father to the Son. Believers are his by marriage relationship. We are espoused to him. And believers are his by gift of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely secure. Who can bind the Savior in chains and lead him captive? Who can take Christ from the heart? Who can steal him away from us? This is not possible, my friend. It is not possible. It's ours. Ours forever. ours always, ours forever. Oh, you can lose your earthly possessions, even your houses. You can lose your earthly portion by natural calamity, by earthquake, by tornado, by hurricane, by this, by that, by flood, by famine, by any. By natural calamity you can lose your earthly portion. But no matter what happens, you cannot lose Christ. He is a secure portion and is ours forever. Also, in the fourth place, not only a sufficient portion and a blessed portion and a secure portion, but he is a satisfying portion. A satisfying portion. It's only he that can satisfy the heart. He's a satisfying portion. Who else can fill your cup greater? Who else can fill your heart? Who else can satisfy your soul? No one else. The Lord said to the woman, well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He'll have to go and come and go and come and go and come. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, shall be in him a well of water bubbling up unto everlasting life. Always satisfied. Always refreshing. Always satisfied. And you cannot diminish it. You are hard like a thimble. And his like a vast ocean. Take your thimble down and fill it with the ocean, you don't diminish the ocean any. Not going, if 10,000 people drank of Christ, they would not diminish him one iota. He cannot be diminished. The fullness of God dwelleth in him. Therefore, you see, because all fullness dwells in him, he is forever a satisfying portion. A satisfying portion. Only he can satisfy the deep longings of the human heart. Only he can satisfy the deep yearnings, the crying of the human soul. Only he can satisfy it. And finally, fifthly, he is an abiding portion. He's an abiding portion. Oh, an abiding portion, yes. Sometimes, you know, I think we see it more often than you do here, but oftentimes in Vancouver we see rainbows. Because we had lots of clouds. Never see rainbows when the sky is blue. You only see them on a cloudy day. A dark, cloudy day. Then you call your friends. You say, come, see the rainbow. See the rainbow. By the time they come, it's already begun to fade. Everything fades. Everything fades. You go outside tonight. Look up into the heavens and see the starry sky. You admire the stars and you admire, listen my friend, they shall perish. But thou, Lord, remainest. They shall perish. They wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up. Thee shall perish, but thou remains. Thou remains. Hallelujah. God is an abiding portion. What a portion. I say, take this little word and roll it round your tongue, you can learn sweetness out of it. Now, let me have, just in closing, let me draw one or two inferences from this. One or two inferences. The first is this. Since Christ is our portion, since the Lord himself is our portion, then do not fret at the prosperity of the weak. Don't worry about the weak. Don't fret at the prosperity of the weak. This was a problem. This has been the problem of the saints all through. It was Job's problem. It was Jeremiah's problem. Jeremiah says, listen, in chapter 12, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. You are the righteous one. But I've got this, Lord, I've got this problem. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Job had that problem. Jeremiah had that problem. The psalmist had that problem. Why do the wicked prosper? See him spreading himself like a green bay tree, not in trouble as other men. Does that bother you? In view of the fact that we have Christ as our portion, don't you fret about the prosperity of the wicked. Poor souls, that's all the heaven they've got. That's all that's all they've got, these toys and feathers. Children's toys, that's all they've got. Over there in England, you know, it's a law in England. I don't know whether they've repealed it. I don't think so. It's a law in England that when a man is hanged for crime, they've done away with that. But in the olden days, in my day, when we were young, when a man was hanged for crime, it was a law that he could have what he wanted to eat as a last meal. He could choose his last meal and have what he wanted. One man ordered such a strange thing that he was only executed for the time to live up. But what is that? If you eat and eat and eat and eat and you fill your belly, you pull this, and then next minute you drop it to hell. What profit? Going to hell with a full belly. Don't you fret about the prosperity of the weak? Because that's where they're going to fall. Secondly, be content with your earthly portion, however small it may be. Be content. Let our conversation be without covetousness. Eh? That is, let our manner of living be without covetousness. Don't covet this and covet that, covet the other. Let our manner of life be without covetousness, because God has said, I will never, and the Greek has five negatives in, I will never, ever, 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 ever forsake you. Which is just another way of saying, I will ever, 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 ever be with you. So you see, be content with what you've got. Don't covet. Be content with what you have. Thirdly, don't be afraid to die. If the Lord is your portion, why should you be afraid? I wish I'd brought a poem with me. I meant to bring it. Here I went to China, John and Betty Stan had their heads chopped off by the Nazis. But Betty had written a poem, a great poem. Afraid? Afraid of what?
and she had to look on while her husband said so. And then she had to kneel and her head fell. But you know, it tells us in this holy book that to die is gain. You like the prophet? To die is gain. And to be with Christ is harder. Better cut. Better land. Better home. Better government. I remember one time years ago, when I first came home from China, came home on furlough, Canada. Billy Graham was having a campaign in Toronto. My friend Joe Gringo was one of the chief men of the team and wanted me to go over, wanted me to join the team. Counselor to the council. And I wasn't very happy about this because the Lord had shown me, although I was a Baptist minister at the time, the Lord had shown me spiritual principles of gathering. That is, he had taught me out of his word, not by the rhetoric. Taught me out of his word. And I was very unhappy, but to satisfy Joe, I got on the train and went to Toronto, went toward Toronto. And as the train went from west to east, I was more uncomfortable. I thought I was on the wrong track. When we got to Winnipeg, the train stopped for refueling for a couple of hours, and I called a friend of mine, an old man, who used to be elder in a big church in Winnipeg that I had during furlough. And I told him my dilemma. I said, I'm a little bit troubled about going the Billy Graham thing. I honor those that are part of it, but it wasn't for me. Seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. But I told his friend over the phone, he said, Dan, why don't you get off the train and spend the weekend with us? Spend the weekend in prayer. Godly man. Served the Lord all his life. President of a big paper. And I spent the weekend with him, and the Lord gave me a shoe. Oh, now that I'm full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And I was going east, sir. So I got on the train. Possess thou the west and the south. I got on the train on that bus. Send word to Joe that I could come. But before I left this dear old man, he said, Dan, I have a problem. Oh, I said, at your age, you shouldn't have too many problems. I said, would you like to share what it is, Mr. Clark? He said, I'm afraid to die. I said, you are what? You are what? He said, I'm afraid to die. I looked him fair in the eye. I said, Mr. Clark, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Pray to see the Savior face to face. Pray to see the mark, Albert, and pray to fall into the arms of him who loved you, gave himself for you. Pray of one. He said, Dad, stop, stop. He said, Dad, stop. I'm afraid no longer. I'm ready to go and see him face to face. Don't be afraid, my friend. Lord is my voice. Lord is my. What a person. sort of, well, hide it in your heart, my friend. Hide it in your heart. Sufficient portion. A blessed portion. Secure portion. Satisfying portion. Abiding portion. And when all is destroyed round about us, like it was in Jeremiah's day, stand amid the destruction of the world. Say what Jeremiah said. The Lord is not. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we give thee thanks for this hour. Thank thee for directing us through this little word in Scripture. But oh, what a gold mine, Lord, what a sweet word. That the Lord is my portion and my portion forever. We say with the psalmist, my heart and my flesh faileth. But God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Thou art our portion. May we enjoy thee, Lord. May we look forward to being with thee. May we enjoy our just thyself, Lord. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Give us the enjoyment of thyself, Lord. That we enjoy thee as our eternal portion. Granted, Lord, for thy name's sake.